Many years I was in this dilemma. Ignorance is a terrible thing. Do you know, even among us, to accept things, somebody starts being nice to you, you think there's a reason. That's the way we are naturally wired, because the natural man cannot give you things free. That's why in America they say there's no free lunch. Nothing goes for. That's the natural world. That's the fallen nature of man. That's the man whose heart is wicked, doesn't love. So now we are born again. We carry that paradigm of looking at things into the kingdom of God, where love is the key thing. We're coming from where the heart of man is wicked and desperately what? Wicked. Coming from there to this place where the love of God is reigning, and then we carry that paradigm of the way we do things into here and think that God is like this. God is like this. So we think that the way this kingdom functions must be the way it functions where we came from, called the kingdom of darkness. But in the kingdom of darkness, there's no love there. But in the kingdom of God is the kingdom of love. So when we come into the kingdom of God, we start learning afresh how it operates. That's why you need to go to Bible study. That's why you need to go to where they're teaching the Bible. So you renew your mind and delete the paradigm you had when you were here and begin to realize that you are no more here and that you are now here. Now, if you carry the way they do things here into here, you'll be in a quagmire, because it doesn't work like that here. And that's where many Christians are. Because they bring the mindset of the world into the kingdom where they've been called, and yet we were told that in this kingdom, love is the key thing. And it becomes a struggle now to disabuse your mind of this concept of payment, of this concept of entitlement, of this concept of revenge, anger, those kind of stuff. To disabuse your mind now becomes the process of educating yourself. Because if you don't educate yourself, you will be out of sync with the Holy Spirit that walks where you are. And once you're out of sync with Him, you're out of sync with Him, you miss everything. The struggle starts. You struggle for this, you struggle for that, struggle for that. You do more 40 days dry, 20 days dry. You just struggling all over the place. Sometimes God in His mercy can just give you. Because you're just fooling yourself. He just gives you because He loves you. But it doesn't work all the time. But there's a way that works all the time. So in this kingdom where we are, you can't pay for anything. So stop. It is freely given and freely received. And Jesus said, freely you have what? Freely you have been given. Freely you have gets received, and then you too freely, but the prophet will call you and charge you money. Let's look at what the scripture says. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Yeah, exactly what we do. We do that all the time. And we're told by so-called people to do that. And did you know it makes sense to you that you pay for something than that you don't pay for? Your natural mind sees it as, yeah, it's a deal. Because we think, in the world, they deal on contracts. But in the kingdom of God, they deal on what? In the world, they deal on contracts. In the kingdom of God, we deal on covenants. They are not the same. A contract is I pay you, you perform. We sign. Contractor, that's why they are called contractors. All they do is contract. So I pay you, you perform. If you don't perform, I don't pay you. Your landlord is a contract. It's not a covenant. If you are sick, you call him, he's not coming. He doesn't have any interest. All his interest is money. So you pay him, you stay. If you don't pay him, he will go to Newark and get paper. They drive you out under the rain. Contract, as the way it works in the world, in the kingdom of God, is who works by what? Covenant. Because love is behind it. Love is behind it. Love says, where you die, I die. That's what this woman said to Noemi. Noemi's daughter said to her. He said, your people shall be my people. Where you die, it's called covenant. It's not a contract. And it's not based on what you do. It's based on love I have for you. So I give my life for you. That's what Jesus did. While we were yet, he gave us his life. Again, you need to educate yourself. I know that in the kingdom where you are, it operates not by contract. It operates by covenant. And God says, my covenant will I not. Yeah, when you know that, then you understand the concept of entering the rest of God. Because you know that that covenant cannot be broken. But the devil will do everything to destabilize you, cause you confusion. But you know, I know. Like Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. And like Paul, I know in whom, yeah, I know. And you are trusted. Totally trusted. So, he says, and when Simon saw that through laying out of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? Money. Can you tell me some of the things we offer to God? Huh? Our good works. You know, you need, immediately we need something. Something is important to us. We become holy for that week. That week, seeking the Lord. There shouldn't be difference between when you are seeking the Lord according to you and when you are not seeking. It should be your lifestyle, seeking or not seeking. But we act like, you know, when you are driving, you see police, what do? You reduce speed. Immediately after police, that's what we do with God. And God is looking at us because he knows that what we are presenting is that unrenewed mind that works on deceit. Trying to deceive him. Say, Lord, do it because a good person, very good person, because you are seeking something. You think God is fooled? God is not fooled. He knows why you are doing that. He knows all that thing you are doing because you are desperate for something. That as soon as you get it, you pass the police, pam, off you go again. So we offer all those kind of things. We even offer physical money. We offer all manner of stuff. We offer, look, you can go on and on, the things we offer to God, ridiculous stuff. And then God says that all our righteousness is what? Filthy rag. He said, don't bring it to me. And then sometimes we have this sense of entitlement, like, God, we have paid you now. So when things happen to us, we say, after all this, I'm doing for you. And some people say, God, where are you? As if to say he's your God. Where are you? We need to educate ourselves so that it can be in agreement with God. So the man says, you know, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money, what? Perish with thee. Because, why should we perish with thee? Because thou hast taught that the gift of God, his gift of God, may be what? Purchased with money, with fast, with rituals, with nothing, even Holy Communion. We turn things into ritualistic stuff, thinking that if I do that, then God will do that. You can't purchase it. You can't purchase it. That you did rituals, did this, you can't pay for it. You can't purchase it. Because somebody already paid. That the gift of God may be purchased with money. That, now, it tells him the big, big bombshell right here. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this what? This matter. It will dispossess you. You can't. You are not going to have it. That's an insult. If God will give you the life of Jesus, at how much? How much will somebody pay you to die? That you want God, you pay God to give you life. You say you don't have any part in this thing. You don't have any part, nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of what? God, because you carry the practice of the kingdom of darkness, where you pay for it. Boy, what did I say? You pay for it. The devil exacts price. Pay for it. You carry it and come here. And then you want to buy it. And it's propelled by ignorance and pride. Because it's like, okay, if I buy it, then, you know, your ego is pumped up. So you don't have any part in this thing. Your heart is not right with God. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart, the thought of what? Thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. It's like you are in bondage. Your heart is in bondage. Now, you see why Jude was writing, that those who do not accept the righteousness that God is giving, that they are evil people. You know Jude wrote it. He said they are evil. It's exactly what Peter is saying here. Because the mindset is evil. Why? It's not faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is, see, it's not faith. It's works. And these things that God has given us free are the true riches. They are the real riches. They have more value than anything physical. Because they are eternal. They are spiritual. I want to ask you a question. For instance, the Holy Spirit of God that you have, what can be of more value than Him? The life of Christ that was shed, that died to save you from hell, what can be of more value than that? That Christ gave us His life. What on earth? What on earth? Jesus said, what can a man give in exchange for his what? His soul. It took God's Son to save my life and your life. Question is, what on earth is of more value than that? That Jesus came and delivered us from the power of Satan, delivered us from all destructions, destruction of sin and devil and everything. What do you have on earth? You can combine value with that thing He did free. The new nature we have, for instance, the life of God. What on earth, how much money, what kind of currency we compare? The name of Jesus given to us to use. What He can do, no money can do. So those are the real riches, and unfortunately, the church hasn't found out that that is the real deal. That when you go for those ones and embrace those ones, they now produce what God wills for you in the natural. For the things we see are made by the things we don't see. These are the things that control the natural. We don't really understand that. So we go for the natural. And God said, don't do that. The real value is this one Christ has given you. That the real riches of God, the eternal in value, eternal, they don't end. Priceless. That's what God gave us. How many Christians have discovered? Somebody said, what manner of love is this that we should be called what? He found it incredible that he should be called a child of God. And the reason we don't is because we don't have this contrast. Because we forget contrast. If you be sincere with yourself, If you be sincere with yourself, you know that you were bad, pretender, all manner of stuff, that Jesus came and pulled you out. But because we don't think that we are bad, so we think he didn't do much for us. So these are the real riches, my brothers and sisters. The eternal, that's what. And Jesus said, don't follow me for the riches that what? Perish. He said, follow me for eternal riches. These are the real deal. The real McCoy. You have them, you have healing, you have them, you have freedom, you have them, you prosper, you have them, you have wisdom, you have them, you have, may you have them, your life is prolonged, you have them, you walk in glory, you have them, you walk in power, you walk in miracle, you have them, you, the whole thing under earth is under your control. So Paul wrote to Timothy about the value of these things. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they may not be high minded, 1 Timothy 6:17, that they may not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly now all things to enjoy. He said, these other ones are uncertain riches. They can't resolve issues. But this one is the real riches that God gives us richly to enjoy. That we should warn people, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Don't trust in all those your bank account. But you know, that's what Christians work themselves out, because of those bank accounts. And then because of that bank account, he doesn't come to Bible studies. He thinks it's not important. He has planned his life the way it is. And in the heat of all that, he's engaging in this business, engaging in that business. Somebody tells him, this is other business, makes money. Okay, I want to start it too. Then I start this one too. That his life is just turning to shit. Totally disorganized human being. The devil is wicked. Totally disorganizes this Christian. The time he has for the real riches is reduced to minimum. And by the time the devil sees that he's gone too far from the truth, he will hit him with something and can't recover. Because what it will take to recover is solid faith. He doesn't have foundation for it. And Jesus said that it's foolish not to understand the value of, to understand kingdom values. So he gave us an example in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease now. That's time for retirement. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is the thing we work ourselves out for. We call it security. We want to secure our tomorrow. This is why Christians don't read their Bible. This is why you don't find them. They won't be in Bible study. They won't be in life center. They won't be in Sunday school. They think this is not important. They think what is important is how fat my check account is. Listen to the Lord himself. This is not me. This is Jesus. I will say to myself, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease now. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, what did God say? But God said to him, what? But he thought he was wise. Church, please, I'm begging you. I've been around Christianity. This is a major issue. If God can convince you to get out of this rut of taking charge of your life that ruined Adam and Eve, you do better. You do better. I'm telling you. Because those things we pursue and we spend most of our time in, God is looking at us and saying, this guy is a fool. Very fool. Did you know that while this man was doing this, God was looking, watching and said, how foolish does it get? But God said unto him, what? God said unto him, what? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He said, this night death is coming and these things can't keep you, can't save you from it. You are going. Death is coming. These things you packed, they don't have the power to deliver you from it. The man didn't even know death was at the corner, but God knew. The man didn't know, but God knew that he was a step into the grave, but he didn't know. But God knew. Verse, the next verse. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not what? Rich towards God. He doesn't understand values. He's after treasures, after money, after this, after that. And let me tell you, the devil will pay you to destroy your soul. The devil will give you a good job with salary you've never seen before. As long as you are out of where you have fed the word of God, he'll pull you up. He offered Jesus the kingdom. He said, I'll give you this kingdom if you bow down and worship me. He said, he's been given to me. The devil will pay you money because he knows that money is nothing. He knows that money, the day you die, the money is not your own. So he knows that's just nothing. So he will pay you money if you can get you off, if you can pull you off the real riches of God, he will pay you. So we must be interested, very much interested, in verse 30, the same Luke chapter 12. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Is that correct? Church, I'm asking. They seek after. But you too, has it not become your treasure? But Paul talks of, we say, we have another treasure in earthen vessels. The revelation of the gospel. But you can see a man who didn't marry, who didn't have companies and things, up until today, his life is talking. Up until today, his life is talking. A man who said, Jesus is all I have. Christ is all I have. He died many years ago, but up until today, his life is talking. And touching millions all over the world. Talk of ministry. Talk of powerful, successful ministry. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your father knoweth that you have need of what? This, but he told us how to change our value. But seek you, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, what? But rather seek you the, okay, I think this is, but rather seek you the kingdom of God. And then what will happen? All these things will follow you. I've said it, that it is the spiritual things that produce the natural things. Whether good or bad, they'll come from the spiritual realm. God says, the riches I've given you will package your life and all these things that people follow. Instead of you pursuing them, they will what? Pursue. I told somebody, I said, anytime something is not pursuing you, it's not from God. I said, the scripture says it will pursue you and overtake you. But if you start pursuing it, you can't be pursuing it and pursuing God at the same time. No, no, no. It's not God's arrangement. God's arrangement is you come after me and get my riches. My riches will get these things pulled to you. They'll follow you. They will what? They will follow you. And the Holy Spirit is here to reveal to us the real riches of heaven that God gave us. Again, let me repeat it. Brethren, it's unfortunate that many Christians don't even understand God's divine value system. I was wondering, I said, you know, just thinking in my mind. Somebody was dying of cancer, and, you know, terrible situation. And they gave her 6 months to live and everything. And then the Lord came to her and started talking to her. What to do to be healed. And the remedy the Lord gave her, you can't find it in any medical school. And I was wondering, I said, Lord, how can you come and be talking to her? But there are many people, your children, who are also sick. And you are no respecter of persons. You should also talk to them one by one. I want to hear what he told me. He said, if they don't listen to their pastor, they don't need me. I'm telling you. He said, I'm not pastor. He said, didn't I say my word? That if they don't listen to Moses and the people I gave them, even if one came from the dead, they will still not there. He said, I gave them pastors to teach them. Those who are interested. Those who want to know. Those who are humble themselves. I teach them the mysteries of heaven. That's what he told me. He said, I'm fair to everybody. He said, my Bible is open to read. So one of the things that God gave us is this gift of righteousness. Can we say amen? You must not be confused about the reality of the fact that God accepts you freely based on what Christ did for you. You cannot be confused about this thing. You must fight for it. Make sure the devil doesn't deceive you at any given point, because if he does, you try to pay for righteousness and it won't work. It will not work. So in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus. And verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. And that's the core message of the gospel. Is the core message of the gospel. Look at it, Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, what? Revealed from faith to faith. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of the law. From faith to faith. It's received by faith, maintained by faith. It works only through faith. The just shall live by faith. Like we said, it was not available until Jesus came. It was prophesied many years ago. Isaiah 53, verse 11. Prophesied it many, many years ago. Isaiah 53, verse 11. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, that is the anguish that Christ passed through on the cross, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted what? For he will bear, yeah, because of the anguish and the things he passed through on the cross, where he bore my sin and your sin, where he shed his blood to wash us clean. See, because of that, my brothers and sisters, please believe God. It's only because of that that we are counted righteous. Only because, read it for yourself. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible now for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear the sins. That's the only reason. What count they righteous? That's not that reason. Exactly what the book of Romans says. It said, by the obedience of one man, we became righteous. By the obedience of one man. So this is a gift given to us by God simply because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Now, this is key to living a new life in Christ. It's key to entering into all other blessings of God. This is like the center point that makes it possible for you to enjoy other gifts that God has given us. Now, if you are not accepted by God, then every other thing cannot be yours. So this is the entry point. This is the starting point. If I'm not accepted by God, then obviously I don't have access to every other blessing that God has. So this is the entry point. And this is where the enemy waits for us and tries to confuse us about it and then try to make us go to works, which is a place of curse. Instead of grace, it's a place of blessing. So look at Galatians 5:2. Behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you think that when you are circumcised, then you'll be righteous and accepted by God, Christ shall profit you nothing. Verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debt on hand to keep the whole law. Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. You see, you don't walk in grace, you walk in works. If you want to be justified by the law, by what you do, then you don't need what Christ did. That's your choice. Then you fall off from the grace of God, and then you go to works. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. And so one of the benefits that we see immediately is that we have peace with God. Can we say that together? We have peace with God. Say it loudly, please. Now make it, I have peace with God. Romans 5, from verse 1 to 2. Therefore, being justified or counted righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But you know that the message that was given to the church is to preach the message of reconciliation. To go and preach the message of reconciliation. Again, people who have come here into the kingdom of God, they bring the mindset of the wickedness of this kingdom of Satan where we were. They bring this mindset and they said, you got to go and tell people they are going to hell. And yeah, it's true. Absolutely true. If the Spirit inspires you, you can tell. But you tell it in love. You speak the truth, what? Love, not in fear, nothing. Because God does not give the spirit of fear. If you want to terrify people, God is not a terrorist. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. Because in this kingdom, love rules everything. And then what leads people to repentance is the goodness of God. So the key message we are giving is the message of reconciliation. We drop it by the side and looking how to frighten people. What spirit is that? Why did you read that God gives the spirit of fear? He gives the spirit of love, power, and what? And mind. Not spirit of fear. Fear is of the devil. If you hear God, the word of God brings faith, not fear. No fear. Again, it's because we don't sufficiently renew our mind. And it comes in our relationship with one another. And I'm just wondering, I said, man, this is unbelievable. When are we going to really, you know, many years ago, one of my children said, they came to me and said, Dad, when are we going to start enjoying your love? The thing changed me like not, I mean, the thing blew. I cried like a baby. We just came from Nigeria, and I carried over, you know, the Nigerian thing, carried it into all the meetings I was having with all the pastors. And the Lord spoke to me, said, you're a very kind person. You are very kind. He said, I've waited for you 10 years to grow. 10. He said, you are very kind. He said, watch these people you come to meeting with. He said, they pray before you come now. But you don't pray. And when you come here, you want to fall. We have not prayed. How can we? And I will be angry with them. How can we come to a pastor's meeting? We have not prayed. And they will say, Pastor Chinedu, okay, let's pray. Do you know? I didn't know. They have been praying for weeks before the meeting. I didn't pray.
Lala. And I'll come there and bring my religion and judge them without knowing that they have done the job I'm supposed to have also. You see how we carry all this kind of mindedness everywhere? Until one day, God opened my eyes, my ears. I started to hear them. I cried like a baby. Brethren, I cried. I couldn't stop. They stopped all the meeting, surrounded me. I started to pray for me. I cried them up. They said, Patine, do we love you? Is it anything cultural? Did we say anything wrong? But please forgive us. We're sorry, you know. Is it something that is it? And brethren, every time they see me, they'll say, how is Chinedu? How is the church? We're praying for you. Praying for your wife and children. And God said to me, have you ever prayed for them? He said, you're so kind. Brother, I'm telling you. It's amazing. He said to me, don't you hear them? He said, when they tell you we're praying for you, they mean it. He said, have you ever taken time to pray for any of them? You that you think you're spiritual, you're holy, they must come out. We haven't prayed, we pray. I cry like a baby. I told them to forgive me. I said, I'm so carnal. I said, I don't merit being in your midst. I said, I feel so bad, out of place. They joined me to cry. Crying out. They say, we love you, Chinedu. We love you. You know, we love you. The way you speak is okay. We love you. The thing broke my heart because I was judging them. They were loving me. All these days, they were loving me. And I was judging them. And full of anger. And I'll come home and be storming all over the place, complaining to my wife. Oh, my wife saw people. I don't know why she's still married to me. I think by now I should have just left. When she leaves, I go to India. It's free. I complain. My wife, you say, my husband, please stop murmuring and complaining. It's wrong. It will attract demonic spirits to you. He told me, he said, stop. I said, it's because you were not in those meetings. If you follow me, pride is dangerous. Because pride will close your ear. You won't even see where you're up. I said, if you follow me, it's because I said, I don't blame you. You are sitting here, I'm the one going and coming. I said, I don't even have sympathy from you. Do I need sympathy or correction? I was forcing sympathy, it wasn't coming. I'm telling you. He told me, that's not it. He said, my husband, why don't you live this with God? I said, living with God. I said, how can you call evil good? I see evil, I must call it evil. And God was listening to me. 10 years. How patient God can be. He said, you are so carnal. He said, go and apologize to all of them. You are so babyish. The same thing we do, we carry the thinking of the world where we were brought up into the kingdom of God. We come with all this, just like I was doing. Come with all this kind of mindset, full of anger. Must we say things in anger? Must we? Can't we have conversation? Can't we? What's wrong in allowing your brother to make a mistake? Let him make mistake now. Don't you make mistake. Yeah. Yep. Everywhere is quiet. Yep. So he gave us the ministry of reconciliation to tell people that God is not counting their sins what? Against them. And why? 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 You don't know? Did Jesus die only for you? Made him a propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole. Their sins have been paid for. But unless they come and accept it, they go to hell. So coming and talking of judgment to them, right? If the Spirit of God inspires you, do that. But what I'm trying to say is that, supposing we tell them exactly what the Holy Spirit says, that God was in Christ, not imputing, and then invite you to be reconciled to him. For God loves you. Come back. He wants you. He's paid for it. Don't run away again.
That's what the Holy Spirit will use. Because that's what he told you to preach. But we won't. Because we come with mindset of the world, wishing that God will punish them. And if we hear that something happened to them, inside we are happy. Say, yeah, that's what fits all those people, unbelievers. Oh, I've been talking to you, won't hear me. That is good for him. Then what is good for you, for that wicked heart? Did you read about Paul? Jews didn't listen to him. His heart was broken. He was praying for them. He said, I'm prepared to go to hell for them. He said, I love these people too much. He wasn't rejoicing that they... No, he was so heartbroken. You want to read about David when they killed his number one enemy, Saul. The man was lamenting. He was crying. He didn't call him bad names. He said, how are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war have perished? He began to recount the things that Saul was a great warrior of men. He began to recount what Saul did. Yeah, this is a man that wanted to kill him. How many times? So our message really is to tell people that they can come back to God. There's peace now. Jesus has paid the price. There's no more enmity. Then we have access to the Father. Nobody can have access to God, the Father, except through Christ Jesus. Nobody. Again, that's why he's our righteousness. Nobody. Without this gift of righteousness, we cannot come to the Father. It's through the blood of Jesus that we are reconciled to God. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Am I communicating? Huh? Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No flesh. None is going to be justified in the sight of God by what you did or keeping the law. None. For by the law, witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is now by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that do what? That do what? Believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation is to be the atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. 26, to declare, I say, at this time, 2018, at this time, his righteousness, not your own, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in who? Am I too fast? Do you understand my accent? Okay. Which believeth in who? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Because it's just by faith. It's not by works. So you can't boast of anything. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's his Bible. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Sin, it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision by faith. Everybody. It is by faith that we're justified in Christ Jesus. And again, like I said, that is the entrance. Because once God accepts you, then every other blessing of God, you can access them. And then that brings us to the next thing I want to talk about, is that our victory in life is because of our being accepted by God. Because except the Lord is with you, you can't have it. Our victory over sin, over the devil, over all those things, it's not by your power. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his what? It's because God is with you. I say, if you are justified freely, you commit sin. No, it will stop sin. Because without it, the power that sets free won't work for you. The power that guides you won't work for you. The guidance of God won't work for you. Is that acceptance that brings that fellowship where the Spirit of God begins to guide you now and teach you now and lead you now? into the perfect will of God for you, and then strengthen you to do what God wants you to do. So now, you know, the victory to those who accept this gift is because of this presence of God with us. Again, in Jeremiah 23, verse 5. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. Just talking about Jesus. And this will be his name. What will be his name? Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Verse 5. I'm reading New Living Translation. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from the King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. Verse 6. And this will be his name. What is his name? The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live saved. We are the Israel of today. And this is the day when the Lord is our righteousness. And because the Lord is our righteousness, he's with us. That's why we dwell in safety. That's why you and I dwell in safety. Because the Lord is with us. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 13. King James Version. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, if you know this scripture, no matter what the devil is trying to do through your children, you can go to bed and sleep. I'm telling you, the enemy is very wicked. He will try to destabilize you, use your children to do stuff. Do all those kind of things. But if you know the scripture, you rest in the Lord. You do what? It's in the Lord. God will teach them. One way, either by wisdom or by experience, but they will learn. I'm telling you. You see, you either learn by wisdom or by, yeah. I am not kidding you. One word, the other day, well, stop bothering. I don't know why we bother ourselves. For are you the creator of heaven and earth? Is it not time to enter his rest and enjoy what God has said? He said, yeah. He said, look at it. Huh? It's what? Isaiah 54. It's what I call, right? Well, I call 53. Okay, 53, 54, sorry. Verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of what? Of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy case closed. Lock it up there. Let them go up and down. This scripture will find them. And God will do it. Can I hear amen? You will see them walk back. They will walk, because God said it. All thy children, not some of them. Not some of them. Why? Because the blessing of God, they make it rich and does not add. God will defend his name. Let them go wherever they are going. Just don't bother. Go to bed. Didn't you read Novel Hayes, the daughter was doing drugs all over the place. And then the man was, God said to him, say, you're not loving the girl correctly. That's why I can't intervene. You took over. You are the walking. The man said, okay, I love him. He said, treat her like, learn this. He said, treat her like she's your pastor. If you know the way you treat her, if she's doing perfectly what you want, do it. Because act of faith is calling those things that are not. He said, love her the way you love her. If she's giving Holy Communion with you. So love her, started to, he said, stop bothering about her. Leave her with you. Then the girl was doing drugs somewhere and looked up and saw on the ceiling, saw the face of Moses and ran. And when she ran home, she ran into her home, into her bed. Real story. And laid on the bed, two big angels were standing there watching her. She ran to the father's room. So I can't go in there. I said, what's up? He said, there are two big angels watching me. He said, I'm not doing drugs again. That cured her. Today she's a minister preaching the gospel. You know what? You read that book. Say, I'm not making this up. Real story. God knows how to teach us. Either you learn by wisdom or by what? One way or the other. So verse 14. In righteousness shall thou be established, for thou shalt be far from oppression. In righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come nigh thee. 15. Behold, they shall surely, oh yes, gathering is normal, but not by me. I'm not with them. I'm not in their presence. They are not accepted by me. They don't have my righteousness. It's a crowd, a different crowd. They are not gathering by me. And then he says something powerful. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall what? Fall for. Why? Because God is with you. He said, I'm not with them. I'm with you here. So let them gather. They're gathering against you and me. They're gathering against us now. I'm not with them. I'm with you. He said, they will all fall because of you. Why? Because I'm with you. My righteousness is given to you. Accepted to me. We have fellowship. We're standing there. Verse 16. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and I bring forth an instrument for his work, and I've created the waster to destroy. 17. No weapon that is what? Formed against thee shall, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Because I counted them righteous. That's why I'm with them, because I accept them. He said, therefore, if they gather, they will fall. If they speak words against you, you condemn it, it won't work. If they use any weapon, it will still not work. Because the weapon they're using is, they use it against you, but it is against you and me. Because I'm with you. Praise the Lord. Is that all the hallelujah I get? This is good news now. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. See, we reign because of this. In Psalm 23 verse 4. Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art what? With me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's rod and staff does not kill, it comforts. Jesus said, I did not come to kill, to destroy. I came to save. Now, 1 John 4:4. You have God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Come on, let's talk now. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he. Why is he in you? Because he counts you righteous. He gave you that gift of righteousness. You accepted to him. Psalm 24 verse 1. Psalm 124 verse 1. If it had not been the Lord, who was what? What will happen? May Israel say, continue. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they had what? Swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. But because the Lord, come on, church, but because the Lord, they can't swallow us. There's something my wife have in her kitchen. It's like a bird. They want to swallow something. So the thing is, It's like a bait. That bait, they want to swallow one man. The bait wants to swallow one man. So the man is like this. Can't enter. So the bait's mouth is like this. But the man is, so you can't enter. So no matter what the bait does, it's not going to, they can't swallow you. Let's read it again. Psalm 124, verse 1. Come on, let's go. One, two, go. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now may Israel say. Now it's repeated. Verse 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. When men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up. How? Quick. When their wrath was kindled against us. But they will not be able. Why? The Lord is, and why is the Lord with us? He's the Lord our righteousness. He's given us that gift of acceptance because of his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Did you hear what I was saying? So we started by saying that the real riches of God is the spiritual things that is more in value than the physical things. And that because we don't understand this value, we spend all our time chasing the physical things, physical wealth, at the expense of the spiritual wealth, which is the real riches. And it is these spiritual things that control the natural. And God says to us, seek you first these spiritual things. Every other thing will now, but the reverse becomes the case now. We're chasing every other thing. We can't, and because we're chasing them, we don't have time to study the Bible, to know those things that the Holy Spirit was sent to reveal to us that have been freely given to us. We don't know them. We don't embrace them. We don't even know how to deploy them in our lives. We're not skillful in the use of the word of God. And so we are ruled by our mindset when we're here. Because this is not renewed. And we don't put value on all of those things. For instance, the thing of righteousness. We don't put value on it. You think it's a church talk. But you see now, if you don't know it, it won't rain. You have faith to rain. And I know we said that these are the things that we must spend time and be able, and the Spirit of God was saying to reveal these things to us so that when we know them, embrace them, then the Spirit of God will use them to produce the perfect will of God in our lives in the arena where people see it. And we said that God says you are a fool if you are not rich in those things, but you are rich in the world. Amen? And then we started to talk about again, this gift of righteousness and the benefit it gives to us. We've been talking about the benefits of boldness that it gives to us. And we need boldness to be able to survive. Because the enemy wants to intimidate us. That we have to be bold. And the righteous, the only people bold. The righteous is as bold as a what? A lion. Many Christians have no boldness. When they are confronted by challenges by the devil, they have no boldness. They start crying. Are you serious? Start crying. Talking like wimps. So they can't rise up and fight. They say, no, this one, you are not doing this yet. You rise up in boldness and begin to take on the thing and say, in the name of Jesus, you fight them. And until if you are eating, if you are chewing, do you stop until you finish? Come on, church. As long as there, you keep fighting. And the Spirit of God will start instructing you what to do. And then we talked about how we have peace with God. Because God counts us righteous. And then now, the victory we have because God is with us. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything? What are your expectations as we are drawing close and preparing for 2019? What are your expectations? Do you have any expectations? Let me tell you something. If you don't have any expectations, you will get nothing. You must have expectations. Don't sit and think God is doing everything for you. No. God gave us all these gifts so that we can now walk with him and think like him and see like him and act like him. Become imitators of God. God sees, we see. Not with these eyes, we see. And you see what the Father is doing. He shows you it, you see it. They say, the expectations of the righteous shall not be caught. Sure. You must have expectations, but it has to come from what the Spirit of God is showing you about what he's doing in your life, the plans he has for you, why he's leading you for truth. I spend time asking God, why are you leading this church? What are you leading this church? And one of the things he began to minister to me is that he said, some of your leaders don't have expectation for their ministry. So they just sit dormant like that. Say, how can anything happen? They don't even have expectations for their lives, not to talk of the ministry I gave them. They don't have a vision where they are going. They're not seeing anything in the future. They're not seeing anything. So there's nothing they're believing. Not, so how can anything happen for them in the ministry I gave them? They don't see anything. May the Lord open our eyes in Jesus' name. If you got this last part, shout hallelujah. If you are a leader, you must begin to ask God, show me your plan. What do you want us to do? God begins to show you, give you figures, put it in definite forms. Let's rise up.